And we're back on the Rule of Three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about the South Korean Olympics, which is next year. Boy, it seems like those Olympics are getting closer and closer together, doesn't it?
It does to me. Yeah,
it was only yesterday that Matt Lauer was sexually harassing his coworkers at the Sochi Olympics.
Yeah, who will take his place this year? Maybe Franken. Maybe that'll be his next gig.
Also on the show, we are going to be talking about the price of Bitcoin. Bent is going to announce the current price of Bitcoin.
Who knows what
it'll be by the time I have this show edited and posted.
It's going up faster than time right now. I think it is definitely rising. It's crazy.
But the first topic on the show, and the one on every news station, is that it looks like we're if you are an architect or a contractor that is very good at building bomb shelters, you might have a job in Jerusalem.
Yeah,
because the U.S. Embassy is packing up in Tel Aviv and moving out to Jerusalem.
Any embassy in a law party. Yeah, I think they're not going to be very picky about the location of the target, I'm afraid. It's weird because, you know, the Christians in Jerusalem are angry about this, as are the Muslims. So Trump has managed to bring Christians and Muslims together with one sentence, just by saying Jerusalem instead of West Jerusalem. I guess when Russia made their pronouncement a while ago, they said West Jerusalem, and he said just Jerusalem flat out. Did you hear that detail?
I did. I did not. That's it is an interesting point. All I thought of when it was announced, it's like, oh, shopping in Israel is going to improve because now they have a Target.
It's just sick. You're a sick man. They have several, I think, all around the world.
Yeah, but this one, they've already got missiles pointed in that general direction.
Yeah, they're
already. It confounds me. It's my understanding that the missiles rain down on Jerusalem every single day. It's like a fact of life. It's almost like the weather report. It's like, oh, heavy missiling expected today in the city of Jerusalem.
Will happen, or mortars or whatever.
Yeah,
I don't know how many there are a day. I know that they called for Hamas called for a new intifada. Is that, I'm pronouncing it right? Am I saying the right words? Or
I think you said yes.
Oh, is that
yes,
clothing? I get it all mixed up. Do you pronounce a hijab?
Intifada. Intifada has a new line this year. It does
they
sound
do.
Like that.
They do. No, it's, I don't know. That stuff's depressing to me. It worries me a lot. Just the timing of it, I guess. Because at the same time, the administration has gutted the State Department. And they're the people, all those deep state operatives. They actually kind of know a lot of stuff about these different countries with whom we have coalitions. And now you're in a meeting in Jordan and you're trying to gather intelligence for your next drone strike. And guess what? All the people who used to give you intelligence, not so willing to speak up now. That's what I worry about, is the damage it does to all those kinds of coalitions and things, operations we have going on all over the world constantly. And they're all at jeopardy with one pronouncement, you know, I think.
I can understand that, and I think you're probably closer to it than I would be.
I know a person who will be rolling his eyes again and shaking his head and like, oh, great. Well, I'm already doing 20-hour weeks. How many more hours am I supposed to put in this department that's running on skeleton crew? You know, with someone at the helm who has no idea what he's wrecking. I just think it. That's what I think. I think there's this kind of a generalization about bureaucrats And I understand, I do share kind of some of the views of bureaucracies, the inherent qualities of bureaucracies. But some of the bureaucrats, I know them, and they actually care a lot about their job. They know a lot.
Sure.
And
sure.
They care. I mean, that the guy I'm thinking of has cared about the country and worked for it way longer than anybody that's recently elected, you know. Put his life on the line, and now this, and oof. But I don't know. You know, I guess we'll find out the effect. Or actually, we'll never find out. They never tell us.
I think the only way you'll be able to tell is if a bunch of people start cashing in their 401ks and leaving the country. I think
then you start knowing.
A wave of that. Yeah, that's about it.
There'll be violence or all-out violence, too. I mean, just attacks on embassies, bombings, all that escalation.
But from a civilian point, from my point, it seems a little ridiculous that we're still pretending that Jerusalem is not the capital. Well, it's like, I think my opinion is the Muslim world has to get over it. You know, they've been there 70 years. They ain't going anywhere. From what I understand, they actually have to rent a floor at the King David Hotel for when the U.S. wants to do diplomacy stuff with Israel. They have to actually travel to Jerusalem because that's where they're going to do it. The Israeli government says, no, we're not going to Tel Aviv to do this. You come to us.
So this is all just an argument over a road trip? Like, we're tired of going there. You come here. Women and children will die. Still, we have to buy plane tickets.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, but it's, well, you know, it's inevitable. It has to happen.
But
at some point, Israel is...
It has to be recognized. I agree.
Yeah. Israel has decided they are staying there. They are not leaving. Over the past 5,000 years, they've been chased out too many times.
But guess who else? Christians and Muslims have decided that too for thousands of years. That's the thing. For him to pronounce all of Jerusalem and not west or part of, but all, that's where it becomes so incendiary, I think. You know, it's that kind of subtle language that these politicians will do when they don't listen to their experts. Like a few years back, Obama said about he was going to make a pivot to the east. And I know a friend who knows tons about speech writing and foreign policy. And he said, what a mistake. Horrible phrase. Pivot means you just turned your back on the Middle East. He said, what a horrible. Huh. Who wrote that line?
Huh. Well, somebody from Silicon Valley, because pivot means an entirely different.
Or a basketball player. I don't know. But pivot.
No, but pivot is like a tech term. It's when Facebook starts out as like a Tinder, which it did, and then turned more into a Twitter. The business model did the pivot is what they say. So it's
well in foreign policy it means I turn my back from this and put my face to that. Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's my thing that I think with that. But.
Sure, but I don't.
I agree with your other thing though that there. It seems like we're pretending. You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's a charade that's been going on. It's a ridiculous charade. We're gonna stay here in Tel Aviv till you change your mind. And here's the one thing that just occurred to me last night is in this country we have developed over the past 100 years ago or so an incredible sensitivity to the indigenous peoples. And the rights of the indigenous peoples and the wrongs that have been committed against the indigenous peoples. Yeah. In Jerusalem, the Israelis are the indigenous peoples.
Well, yeah,
They've got documentation. They've got documentation and deeds that go all the way back to, you know, the apparently there's some stone tablets somewhere
where
the land was granted to them.
But according to the Bible, even they went in and wiped out some indigenous peoples to get it. I mean, some of the first genocides you see written down are Old Testament victories, you know, like the Walls of Jericho story. Hey, that was... When you see the details, you're like, "Ooh, this is gruesome."
Yeah, but wasn't that them coming back? Wasn't that them coming back? That was essentially their version of the casino boom.
Oh yeah, but the original. You're right. Yeah, but the original wasn't that. The original was they moved in. They said they were led to this place and they would take it. It's a different time in history and place. Yeah, I'm definitely not into going back and all that kind of stuff. I think in the here and now, the decision, this charade that they do seems to, we'll see. Maybe we'll have some hard numbers to compare. Okay, what was it like when we were pretending? And now what's it like now that we're trying, you know, to, quote, fix something again? Ugh. But
And speaking of here and now, we are now out of time.
We are, thank goodness.
We're back on the Rule of Three. We are going to be talking about... what are we going to talk about? Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about... Right now, of course. That's what we're going into. I know you're excited to reveal that. I know you can't wait to reveal that number. But later, we got to tease out the next subject. We are going to be talking about what's going to be going on in South Korea. Next winter, in about a year, and hopefully it's not going to be a nuclear winter. Hopefully it's just going to be a regular winter with bobsleds and luge.
It would be nice.
rather than the bomb sites and fuge. But right now, of course, we have a number, and that number, it's I wish we had royalties so I could play "What the World Needs Now Is Love" and starts a drum roll as Bent is about to announce the number. If you invested in Bitcoin when it was at parity with the dollar, you now have a lot of money.
Ooh,
because because one Bitcoin is now worth, drum roll,
$17,600 and one penny. It's insane. That's insane. I wonder if it's a bubble. Do you think it's a bubble?
Gee, you think?
I hope it is. Man, I hope it is.
It's actually kind of funny because people our age... It has to be young people, because people our age are well aware of what happened to drugstore.com and pets.com and all those other stocks of the future. You have to be aware of that happening, and have to be aware of what happened to real estate in the early 2000s.
Yeah, 2007. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago, but I think some people not aware of what can happen.
It's going to happen. This is going to I'm just seeing some drug dealers lose a few mansions. Having to let people go, aka shoot them. Like, we're sorry, we had to make Bitcoin crashed.
For those of you who don't know, Bitcoin, it's essentially it's a large prime number that is gifted to you. Is that you set your computer? There's a program, and it starts running through numbers, and it figures out a large prime number. And once you get that large prime number, it becomes your proprietary information. And you can use it like money.
Yeah. You buy, you fill it with dollars, and then it converts it to, quote, Bitcoin. And
right.
Then you use that.
Right.
To buy
which is actually, of course, it's, yeah, which is broken down. Nobody owns a single number now, because that number is now worth $17,064 and a penny. Is that right?
$600 and one penny. I haven't.
Wow,
refreshed.
It's going up already. Look at that.
I got to refresh it and see what it. Oh, it just now it's 1,626.
Uh-oh, the crash.
No, it went up $26 while we were talking.
Oh, did it? Okay, 1,000.
No, I'm sorry. 1,000, what did I say?
I thought it was 17,000.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's dropping. It's starting. It's the end. Uh-oh.
Yeah. No. Yeah, you know, that's kind of been the rule of three is that when we announce a fad, it's over.
It's done.
it's officially over.
Oh boy!
But
well, let's hope that happens with Jerusalem. You know, like peace. I mean, like we called it is going to be war, and then it turns into peace. Like, wow, what happened?
The interesting thing to me about Bitcoin is that it sort of reveals a little secret that people don't like to admit about all currency.
Yeah,
is that all currency is only the only reason why currency has any value is because people agree to trade in that currency. It's essentially U.S. currency. Our money is nothing more than dead president trading cards.
But they work.
I'm not saying it does not. I'm not saying it does not work.
And it works because of trust. I mean, trust is what runs everything, is trust.
Sure.
That's why your credit rating as a country is so important. I've had friends like, well, what if they downgrade our credit rating? Well, then the interest rate on the debt goes up, and then it chews up your discretionary spending like crazy.
Right.
So, yeah, it's trust. It's trust.
I've always liked the analogy of dead president trading cards.
Yeah,
though.
Well, I like it.
It's like, you know, everybody's got a Washington. Everyone's got Washingtons and Lincolns. Those are pretty common.
Yeah.
And it's the higher up you get, not so many people have the Jacksons, because those are he's not a popular figure anymore.
He's not.
Grant was a drunk.
Yeah.
And the most valuable trading card you can get is the Benjamin Franklin, because he wasn't even a president. It was they printed the card in his rookie year, and he never got picked up by the majors.
That's right. So. He's a minor leaguer. He's a scientist. Well, statesman. I don't know.
Oh, I forgot Hamilton. The Hamiltons.
Oh, yeah. The banker.
Those should actually be worth a lot more money now with the popularity of the musical. Yeah.
Everybody should want a Hamilton.
It's
take a Hamilton.
I'll trade you a Hamilton for that crummy Franklin you got.
I'll give you 10 Hamiltons for one Bitcoin. Man, let me refresh it and see where we are now.
I've been 1626.
Okay.
I've kind of been connected to the Bitcoin people for quite some time because of my connection with the Libertarian Party.
Okay.
And, I mean, they were the early adopters. They were the ones that said this is going to be big. And it's like, boy, you know, I can't tell you how many libertarian ideas that were supposed to be really big.
And this is the one. Just in time.
It's every libertarian convention. I would love to go. They have these booths in the convention, and you know, most of them are a lot of reputable think tanks. You know, like Reason Foundation has one. Heartland Institute has one. You know, it's stuff like that.
I like Reason Foundation.
But then there's people that want to build a floating island and establish a country on it.
Yeah.
And all I can think of is, you know, you cannot have an anarchist society with something that's going to have such grave consequences for not maintaining the infrastructure. And there's space. Some of them have thought, you know, they want to put together a rocket and build a colony on another planet,
A lawless colony? Like with no...
Again, yeah, the infrastructure. Yeah, you need laws. It's
kind of need it.
Yeah, no punching holes in the wall. No. The Homeowners Association frowns on holes punched in the wall.
Just nuts. But they're rich. Some of them are probably rich nuts until this
they're
crashes.
Filthy rich. Oh, my God, they're filthy rich. I scoffed. I scoffed at Bitcoins. I scoffed, Bent. Now, look at me. Look at me mired in poverty for scoffing at the one that worked.
Well, what else do you scoff at? Because I am in. All in.
Yeah, give me your scoff list, and I shall invest in a millionaire I will become.
Man, I've been wrong before, but you were so wrong on this, Tim. I'm so glad I didn't take a stand on Bitcoin publicly.
There was people were calling me. They go, hey, we'll give you a Bitcoin. Somebody had an idea. They were going to set up like one of my videos. They were going to put it on a site, and that I would get paid Bitcoin for every view.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious.
You would have sold like 8 plays. That would have been 8 Bitcoins.
And you know why I didn't do it? You know why I didn't do it?
Oh my word! Why?
You know why I didn't do it? It's because I still had an iPhone 4, and I didn't want to upgrade my OS X. So I couldn't download the app.
You made the dumbest business decision of all time.
Probably one of many, to be honest with you.
No, because it is now at 16,260. Let's just say, conservative estimate, you got 100 downloads. I would say you'd get way more than that. This is ridiculously conservative. You get 100 views of your famous tax Halloween candy bit. Let's say just 100. Let's times 16,260 by 100. We'll just slide that over to you. You want to know how much money you're out?
No, I don't.
You gotta know.
I do not. I don't. No, I don't. I don't. I don't need to know.
Okay, it's hard for me to calculate. Yeah, it's 1,626,000.
And that's where it's going to stay because we're out of time.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's funny.
And on the final episode of Rule of Three, we are going to be talking, or we will talk, or we are talking.
Yes.
Still recovering from the Bitcoin shock. We really didn't have to do that math. apparently, it's next year is an Olympics year. It's the Winter Olympics. And they're going to be done in a place in South Korea that I cannot pronounce. Can you do it? I don't even have it in front of me.
I don't have it in front of me either, but I'm sure I could butcher it. I couldn't pronounce it.
Pyeongchang.
Pyeongchang.
That's not hard. Pyeongchang.
That was easy.
South Korea. Yeah, that was it. Is that right?
I don't know.
It's Pyeongchang. Yeah. Yep, that's it. Pyeongchang. The Pyeongchang Olympics are going to be in South Korea.
Yeah, it's a good location.
Just a few miles from probably the craziest world leader in the world right now.
With a new missile.
Wait, he won't need a new missile. He could probably have his hammer thrower get it over the wall, over the DMZ and into the Olympics with a good lob.
So. Yeah, we're coming to him now. This is crazy.
Gonna put it right there. But the interesting thing about this Olympics is Russia was just thrown out.
Yeah,
there will be no Russian athletes competing in the Winter Olympics. Probably the first time since the Carter era.
They won't let any of them in because of steroids. How about the Russian bots? Can they get in?
Well, the interesting thing, they're still going to let the Russians compete as neutral contestants.
Really? And I'm sure they can influence the outcome of a lot of the contests. Surely.
So here's the stupid thing. So we're not going to show the flag. They're going to have to be wearing white suits. Yes, white skiing suits.
Really? You
know, can't have the national colors, but everyone's going to know who they are.
Yeah, I think they should put, like, have you ever seen those cartoon things that put muscles onto the shirts? They should do that with everybody. Just load them up with steroid muscle drawings. Those kind of muscle, you've seen them. Like, maybe make them wear those fake muscle outfits you get. Like, oh, you have to compete in fake muscle bound.
Well, here's the story. Here's actually what happened for those of you, because I didn't know about this till last night. I saw a Nightline show, and apparently there was a guy that he was a bicycle racer, and he wanted to find out how Lance Armstrong was able to cheat. So what he did was he decided that he was going to try to do performance enhancing drugs and cheat, and his search led him to a doctor in Russia that gave him advice on how to cheat, and
it's perfect.
And right, and the more he talked to this, and that was originally the theme of the film. But the more he interviewed this guy, and the more he talked to him, the more he found out about how this doctor in Russia knew that he was cheating, and knew how to cheat. And it turned out that this doctor that he contacted. I'm looking for his name right now, and it's not right in front of me. But this doctor that he had contacted turned out that he was the head of cheating for Russia.
The head? They have a head of cheating?
He was the head cheater. Yes, it was state-sponsored cheating. He answered to Vladimir Putin. And he's talking to this guy, and apparently the KGB found out that he was talking to this filmmaker, and they had to get him out of Russia. And he's now in protective custody. So this basically, when the Olympics were in Sochi in Russia, they had intelligence. They had KGB agents dressed up as janitors.
No way.
They would go in and to dust the urine sample room, and they would swap out Russian urine with they would get clean urine. From the gulags, I guess.
Say, wow, they would this swap is iron up. Deficient they, athletes here.
They,
this is
right.
Wild.
They would swap out the urine of doped athletes with clean gulag or urine.
This guy has TB, a world-class sprinter with tuberculosis. How does he do it?
So yeah, so they said this doctor said that 99% of Russian athletes at the Sochi Olympics were doping.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's kind of an amazing story.
They
it's kind
do.
Of very, you know, you, yeah. you kind of think that all that James Bond stuff that happened in Russia kind of went away in the 90s when the Cold War disappeared.
Nope.
Yeah. Well, no, it's, you know, it's kind of a career. It's maybe, you know, you're an auto worker for Packard, and when Packard closes, you're still working on an assembly line. You're just not working for Packard anymore.
Yeah, you just
So, I mean, the Soviet – right. The Soviet Union had this enormous intelligence operation set up, this corrupt government. And basically, when the Soviet Union collapsed, they all kind of stayed in the family business.
They needed something to do. And did you use the past tense, had a corrupt government?
Well, yeah. Well, the government isn't really corrupt. The government is doing its best to try to be an actual, authentic government. But the trouble is the corrupting influences are all still there. They didn't want to go away. It was extremely profitable. Communism is extremely profitable
for some people.
For some people.
Yeah, yeah. Oligarchs. I guess they just shifted to an oligarchy that owns the government. I mean, isn't that really what it is now for the most part?
Yeah. Yeah, so some of them, a lot of them said, you know, they said, you know, this government's going to be too hard to corrupt, so they came to America. And started threatening the Italians and Mexicans for their territory, and they came with KGB tactics. the mobs that existed in the U.S. Up until the time the KGB guys came over here had no, you know, were not as advanced.
So we got that technology from them.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Organized crime got Soviet technology. It was...
Oh, man. Yeah, well, it makes me feel safer. I'm glad.
So safer. As far as the Olympics, I've been saying forever that let's just stop the doping rules and just you know, because there's a national pride sort of thing. It's you know, we now know that the jokes that were made for any young kids that are listening to that is all the female swimmers from East Germany looked like men.
Yeah. Well,
and there was a Miller commercial where they actually really made fun of that.
Oh, I remember that. That was yeah. Couldn't do that.
It was hilarious. And they said no. They just have, you know, real programs. They wouldn't do that. And the media was right along. You know, they're always apologizing for communists. They're saying, oh no, the Olympics Committee is very strict. They would never allow that sort of thing. And it came out. It came out when the Soviet Union fell, and we got a hold of all those documents. It turns out they were doing it.
Absolutely, the whole time. Yeah.
Some female swimmers got so many hormones that they actually just had to go through fully through the transition. They were no longer even.
It was easier to go forward than back. You're a lot closer to this end than the other.
Exactly. So, oh, wow. So my opinion is, let's just have at it. You know?
Oh man, I would like some sports for sure. I mean, pro wrestling needs steroids. You don't want to see me, guys like me, oiled up and wrestling. No one wants to see that.
Ben, I hate to break this to you. There is, you know, there is no perversion that does not exist in multiples, and the internet has made it possible. You know, the furries existed in isolation before the internet.
Oh no! So there's a wrestling world of middle-aged and older men like me in tights, oiled up, just doing power drives and.
I could Google that. But I won't.
Don't. You borrow someone's phone. Google that on someone else's phone or device. borrow an enemy's laptop for that shit. That's wild. Man, that's fascinating.
I wish we could move forward to that, but we're rapidly approaching the end of this week's episode. All the episodes, of course, are available at timslegel.com. You can get them on iTunes, search Rule of Three. You can subscribe. Please subscribe. Please leave us comments. Please rate us. Mention us on Facebook, on Twitter, Tim Slegel, at Tim Slegel on Facebook, at Tim Slegel Comedy on Facebook, at Tim Slegel on Twitter, is actually. And if you want to find more out about Bent.
Yeah, I'll be... getbent.com or just bentwashburn.com is easier, and I'll be putting a link to the podcast on there hopefully this week if I can find my web design guy. Maybe he hit it rich on Bitcoin. We don't know.
And aside from that, we'll see you next week.